What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, and we're going to go back to the phones to Glenn in Philadelphia. Aloha, Glenn. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to comment on my perceptions thus far about the public reaction to the progression of the coronavirus. We've predictably seen the two extremes early on of dismissiveness on the one hand and chicken little apocalypticism on the other. But it seems right now, what I'm seeing now kind of reminds me of that long, drawn-out phase, like when you're watching a hurricane coming in somewhere. It's like, we've got the Kona probability here. And so people become, I think, weary of the anticipation. And plus we have our normalcy bias, you know, working on us. And I'm actually seeing people who are almost sort of bored with it all before it's actually, you know, fully taken root here. It's kind of interesting. It seems to me that we're in this sort of, let's wait and see, normalcy bias phase. What do you think?
Well, you're absolutely right about the two extremes, and I think it's exacerbated by the fact that most people understand we don't really have hard, reliable information. We're going to try and correct that in a little bit. But, you know, you're right about the hurricane. You can see it coming. You know what the Kona probability is going to be, and you contrast that with, like, the tornadoes that hit Nashville or an earthquake. You don't see those coming until it's pretty much almost too late. Tsunami, same thing. You know it's coming for a long time away. And, people just react differently to those different timescales.
Right. And actually, I mean, we've seen, you know, it looks, when you look at the Johns Hopkins map, you know, and you see the big red blob in the center, you know, mainland China, it's like a massive conflagration. It seems more analogous to the fires in Australia or something. And I think people, we see these certain countries where there are, you know, notable outbreaks, Italy, Iran, we're seeing that there, and then, you know, a bunch of others where it isn't. So I think actually this one's going to be sort of a struggle all the way through in terms of defining moderation of response, you know. And I'm also reminded of the cliche that, you know, one death is a tragedy and a million deaths is a tragic. You know, it's always different. You know, in other words, the people who are affected, like I'm sure right now in Washington State, people are reacting differently than they are where I am in the suburbs of Philadelphia. You know, I'm not seeing any shortages or hoarding or anything like that. But and it just depends on the number of severe cases, the number of deaths, how quickly people are recovering. Yeah, so it really is sort of a up in the air to see what we're going to be looking at. I'm thinking, here we are in the first week of March, and I'm thinking by the first week of April, this is all going to change radically over the next few weeks. Just not exactly sure how. So, that's all I wanted. I just wanted to beg the question, that's all.
All right. Well, thank you, and we're going to let you go. And let's see. Let's go back to the news then. I'm sorry, I was dealing with something with the control room here. Okay, so the Department of Defense are expecting the coronavirus to reach pandemic levels in 30 days. That's kind of close to what I think as well. Cases rising in the United States quickly will likely reach pandemic designation this month. Now, over in Orange County, they've declared a state of emergency. A flight attendant has tested positive. FEMA is preparing for Donald Trump to declare coronavirus a national emergency to free up disaster relief funding and federal assistance. An infectious disease emergency declaration would allow FEMA to free up disaster relief funding and provide federal assistance. It would mean mobile hospitals and military transport, transport could be provided by FEMA using the $34 billion they have in their disaster relief fund. That, I think, is a much more realistic number to be dealing with this than the $2.5 billion that Donald Trump was talking about. Okay. Dr. Matt McCarthy, who's the author of Superbugs, suggests that the coronavirus numbers from Korea show a mortality rate closer to flu rather than something worse. See, that's one of the numbers that jumps all over is the mortality rate. So let's look at some serious virus calculations. The current number of infected as of the time this article came on out is 89,254. Total dead, 3,048. Total recovered, 45,393. Total showing symptoms and getting treated, 48,441. 3,048 divided by 48,441 times 100 is 6.2% current kill rate. Okay, now we're going to take a moment to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Now, that kill rate of 6.292 is 12 times the standard flu rate. You see, everybody's got a different set of numbers. 89,254 divided by 48,000 times 441 times 100 is 54.27%. That's people being treated, at which point we wonder, is the global health system on the verge of being overloaded? Okay, and a very high R-naught of greater than 6.0 plugged into the population formula for the increase in virus will show you the date of global infection. Currently, the virus doubles the number of people infected every 2.4 days. Now, the number can go up. The R-naught number can go up or down depending upon the infection. Current world population is $7.7 billion. And times 0.006292 is 53,755,832 that can conceivably contract the disease. Now, the virus, in theory, according to this article, will build its own fire break line at some point because it runs out of people to infect. Normally, that would be true. But unfortunately, it's being discovered this pathogen can reinfect people who've already recovered from an earlier infection, and it can actually be more lethal the second time around. The other factor, of course, is the efforts by governments to control this problem here. Now, the 1918 Spanish flu killed about 20 to 50 million people. And any vehicle that has carried an infective active person is now a spreader of the infection. So, now this was an article, I referred to it briefly at the top of the show. It's from The Atlantic, which tends to be pretty serious. And the headline reads, "The official coronavirus numbers are wrong, and everyone knows it." Says, "We know irrefutably one thing about the coronavirus in the United States. The number of cases reported in every chart and table is far too low. The data is untrustworthy because the processes we used to get them were flawed. The CDC testing procedures missed the bulk of the cases. They focused exclusively on travelers rather than testing more broadly because that seemed like the best way to catch cases entering the country." I can understand that. Except that now we're getting what is called community spread, people who are getting the disease who are not in contact with the travelers. All right, we now have 9 people have died of coronavirus in the U.S. The FDA is vowing they will test 1 million people by the end of the week. That's a heck of a promise. Considering that it's already Tuesday, I don't know. Here's the part that's really the kicker. Officials say at least a quarter of more than 100 confirmed cases were transmitted inside the United States. They weren't in China. They weren't in contact with somebody who came from China. And again, we have that whole situation of what is called community spread. Okay, the Trump administration has ordered an investigation of potential contamination of the CDC lab producing coronavirus kits. Well, we know that the initial kits they put on out were defective because one of the reagents was outdated and had gone bad. Now, Donald Trump is sparring with the nation's top coronavirus expert, Dr. Tony Fauci, and Trump has demanded a vaccine in a couple of months. Dr. Fauci has said it's going to take a year. And Fauci is correct. All Trump does by saying, I want it in 2 months, is betray his own ignorance of the process. We're going to take another phone call. Dan in Washington State. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to add real quick, I'm not too fast on my feet, you know, when you made the comment about coronavirus in Washington. I did talk to my mom. I drive trucks, so I'm out of state. But she told me yesterday that she goes to these government city council meetings and stuff, but they canceled the meeting because of the virus. And they did close some local schools because of the virus. So I guess they're trying to do something. I don't know how much it's spread or not, but they are actually taking it seriously, I guess. So I just wanted to report that.
Well, thank you for the update. And at least it looks like Washington State is trying to take this seriously.
All right. Yeah, thanks. All right, that's all I have. Have a good day.
All right, thanks an awful lot. Okay, Bill Gates is now out there saying that the coronavirus outbreak could actually hit Africa worse than it did China. And here's an article, and I mentioned this earlier before. Okay, this is an article coming out of Global Research up in Canada, and they're pretty serious people out there. And they're saying the consequences of COVID-19 outbreak in Iran will exacerbate the Islamic Republic's ongoing economic crisis and bring it even closer to political collapse than ever before, the outcome of which is unwittingly being facilitated by the government's mismanaged response to this disease as a result of the narrative corner it's backed itself into for politically correct reasons, which worryingly raises the question of whether or not regime change might be just around the corner if this dire situation isn't soon brought under control. By the way, somebody sent me an article. Apparently, the United States has made a bit of a tepid offer to Iran to help them. Iran said, no, thank you. Now, Chris Murphy met with top Iranians days before the outbreak. Now, people want him quarantined. Make a lot of sense, I think, here. All right, so let's talk about the international news now. Trump is telling Erdogan in Turkey he'll lobby NATO to assist Turkey with Patriot missiles. Now, that's kind of interesting. The United States refuses to give Patriots to Turkey because Turkey went with the Russian S-400, but Trump says he's going to get NATO to send the Patriots in there, trying to play both sides of that particular issue. Turkish military has launched a ferocious broadside against Syrian government forces in Syria's Idlib province, where troops loyal to President Bashar al-Assad have been waging a deadly offensive against rebel groups. Turkey has apparently, for all intents and purposes, declared war on Syria's Assad and unleashes swarms of killer drones. Now, this poses a serious air challenge to Putin and the Russians. All right, now, you know, a few days ago, there was an incident where Turkish F-16s had violated Syrian airspace and shot down two Syrian Air Force aircraft. They've now shot down a third, an L-39 fighter for Idlib. Now, the Pentagon is seeing the deal in Afghanistan with the Taliban as allowing a stronger focus on China. Well, maybe, maybe not, but already the deal is starting to look like it's fragmenting. Taliban approached the Afghan government about a prisoner swap. The Afghan government said no. So the Taliban has renewed offensive operations, not against the U.S. forces, but against the Afghan government. The deal supposedly is for all of the U.S. forces to leave, but already we're seeing war hawks saying that there's going to be special forces left inside Afghanistan for counter-terror operations. So the U.S. Taliban deal is not the military withdrawal we're all being told that it is. I think Trump did this to make it look like he was keeping his 2016 promise to pull out of some of these foreign entanglements. But being out is an absolute. You're either out or you're in. And if you're in, then you're in. Over in France, the French government is going to force through the controversial pension changes by decree. They're not going to let Parliament vote on it. And in a surprise announcement, the Prime Minister, Edouard Philippe, said the controversial measure would be used to bypass Parliament after opposition parties filed more than 41,000 amendments to the law in an attempt to stall its introduction. The proposed reforms have sparked widespread protests and strikes since they were announced in December of last year. A lot going on over in France, and it's got to be bad for their tourism. Over in Israel, they've had their third election. And Netanyahu's Likud party won 59 seats, which is short of the 61 that he needs for an absolute government majority. So one of two things is going to happen. He's going to have to form a coalition government with the blue and white party, or there's going to be yet another election. All right, we're going to take a phone call from Susan in Wisconsin. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just want to talk about Bernie Sanders a little bit this evening.
All right.
I had seen an article on Facebook earlier today that it wanted to know why young people are so disgruntled now. I don't know if I'm really considered young anymore. I mean, I'm a Generation Xer, so I might not be young anymore. I don't know. My body's feeling it now. But the reason that young people are so disgruntled now is because we haven't seen a minimum wage hike since, what, 02, 03, 04.
Yes.
We've always lived in a wartime. We've never been at peace. And as far as college goes, when you graduate a two-year or a four-year college, you got 350 graduates applying for 10 jobs that want 10 years of experience before they even take a gamble on you. I mean, I think that's why baby boomers and down have to work 10 times harder to accomplish. Generation Xers and down have to work 10 times harder to accomplish what baby boomers and the silent generation did in 20 years. And I think that's something to look at. We need something different.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I feel sorry for young people today because the country has become a very cruel and usurious place.
Right. And I mean, I'd read an article a couple of days ago from like Young Republics or something like that. I can't remember who it was from, but it said only Republicans are self-reliant. I mean, what kind of logic is that?
Well, kindly watch your language
Democrats,
on the radio.
Okay, right. But I mean, what are they trying to say with something like that?
Well, they're saying that politically the Democrats believe in government handouts.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know that I know, like, charity is a good thing, and I don't know that there's a difference between, charity and so everybody pays into your retirement now, right? So when you pay into retirement and you don't think it's there and you're still paying into it, what's the problem with paying for an old person's glasses through Medicaid? Even though you think it ain't going to be there, it's still taken out of your check, right?
Well, yeah, the Social Security Medicaid money is money that belongs to you, but you've paid it into the system. Anyway, listen, Susan, we're going to have to let you go. We've got to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened? What really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to go back to the phones to Kelly in Austin. Aloha, Kelly. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
I listened carefully to what Susan said about debt, the debt that millennials have to pay off, and much of that with regard to education. And it reminded me that I went through a master's and a doctoral programs in geology and geological engineering. I had no debt. But that was back at a time when states actually supported universities.
Yes.
At some point in time, 30-some-odd years ago, they began to deregulate tuition, as you recall. And at that point, then, tuition began to climb. And it didn't climb gradually. It climbed very steeply. And so much so now that students are tens of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt by the time they graduate, and as a result of that, they have to defer all the other things that those of us who graduated earlier were able to acquire, because they had to pay off the amount, the equivalent of a mortgage, before they could begin to buy houses and live normal lives. I have taught on occasion classes in geology. I've talked with the students now who are in college, and I've asked them, how much debt have you do you you have to pay off. And I'm just shocked at how much debt that they've accumulated. If you want to point the blame at anybody, it's state governments and actually the federal government responsible for this. They have enslaved a generation of students to the banks, and as a result of that, these students are absolutely they're debt slaves. They're debt slaves. Yes. I don't blame any of them for being upset. I have a daughter who just finished a PhD in engineering a couple of years ago, and she graduated debt free. I made sure that she went through college no debt. But well, she's finding out the other side of this coin as well, and that is that the cost of living in places like Austin, Texas, is so exceedingly high and climbing at a rate that they can't afford to live here. And this is where many of the jobs are, but the kind of jobs that pay what they need to make in order to live comfortably in a city like Austin, or say Dallas, or L.A., or Denver. The cost of living is just out of sight. And so when you combine the debt load that they've assumed with the cost of living on top of that, I'm not surprised that you have a lot of young people who are disgruntled enough to embrace Bernie Sanders' snake oil. He'll end up doing more damage to the educational system than anybody can ever imagine. But I can see why they get pushed that way. You and I were probably in college about the same time, and I'm sure that you'll agree with me that tuition at that when you started college and when I started college was nowhere near what it is today. I think my first semester in college, I think I paid $115 in tuition. And, you know, we all graduated in engineering and went to med school, and everybody passed their exams and this, that. We didn't need all the fancy swimming pools and student unions and everything else that universities have built in the last couple of decades that have done nothing more than jack up the cost of an education. It's just shameful.
Well, the cost of college education has spiraled way out of line with, you know, the rate of inflation. I mean, you would expect the cost of education to go up a little bit with inflation, but it's just shot, you know, up to the stratosphere. And you're right.
Well,
it's all about making a generation of college graduates debt slaves. And those, pardon me, those jobs that you're promised when you first sign up for college, where they say, don't worry about the student loans. You'll get a high-paying job when you get out of college, and you'll pay those loans right off. Those are not there. Those high-paying jobs have been sent overseas, or they're being held by the H-1B visa holders.
That's right. And on top of that, and I've seen the proliferation of absolutely meaningless degree programs in the last 20 or 30 years at universities that have attracted many students to things like gender studies or American studies or something else like that. And you wonder, well, what is it that you people expect you're going to be doing when you get out of here? How much debt are you assuming? I remember talking with a young student. She was a journalism major, and she took a summer class I was teaching in physical geology. And she was at Arizona State University. And I said, okay, you're from Austin, but you're going to school out of state. What's your tuition? She said, $40,000 a year. And I thought, so you're majoring in journalism. What do you think you're going to make as a journalist when you leave school? You might be lucky to make $40,000. And how long would it take you to pay off $160,000 worth of debt, you know, for that degree? It's not just, and again, it's a broad spectrum of meaningless degrees that universities have created to attract people so they can get all this funding to continue their so-called mission. And I'm not sure what the mission is now, other than just to accumulate debt.
Professors.
Right.
Anyway,
yeah.
Kelly, got to let you go. Got to take a break for commercials. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold. Arms and or legs often go to sleep. Sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe. Short walks cause cramping or pains in legs. Memory is not as good as it used to be. Ankles swell late in the day. Chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit, lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Getting on back to the Israeli elections here. Apparently, somebody, and we take a guess who, put out hoaxes about coronavirus contagions in Israel. And apparently, these hoaxes were being put out in areas that were likely to vote for Benjamin Gantz and his Blue and White Party. And apparently they denounced today a corona hoax as a Likud dirty trick, an attempt by Netanyahu to prevent people from going out and voting. Politics is a dirty business. We don't need any ghosts come from the grave to tell us that. All right. Let's talk about the economic news here a little bit. Sorry, I have a little bit of a sore throat. It's not coronavirus. Don't get the disinfectant on the computer. The U.S. 10-year Treasury note is crashing, the lowest ever in history, and they had a really bad day on the Dow. At one point, it was down 900, almost completely erasing the gains that were made in yesterday's upshove, which was triggered apparently by the Federal Reserve lowering the prime rate again for investment capital. And apparently, the Dow closed at 579 down here. Okay, story coming out of HenryMacko.com saying Why is the Illuminati media stoking fears of a global pandemic and financial meltdown? The purpose may be to reduce us to our most primitive survival instincts, from the threat of nuclear war in the 1960s, I remember that one, to routine pandemic scares today. Fear is a weapon of social and spiritual control. And of course, it's affecting the markets. Now, they're still trying to blame the market downturn on the coronavirus, and the coronavirus might be a trigger, but it is certainly not the cause. Over in Macau, in China, which is a major gambling center, gaming revenue has collapsed 87.8% last month. All right. Erdogan warns Europe to expect millions of migrants after Turkey opens the border. We're talking about immigration and refugees now. And basically what he's doing is he's using these Syrian and other refugees as a weapon against Europe to try and get them to come on in to support Turkey against Syria, trying to get NATO to come on board with all of this. All right, we're going to take a phone call. We're going to break our one call per caller per day rule because Dustin wants to respond to something one of the other callers said. So, Dustin, give it your best.
Was Bush a Democrat or a Republican, Mike?
He was Republican.
Didn't he bail out AIG in the 2008 financial crisis and Wall Street?
Bailed out everybody.
Isn't that socialism, and isn't that being allowing them to be relying on the government for help?
It's fascism.
What about Trump, though, Mike? He bailed out the farmers not once but twice. Probably going to have to bail them out a third time. That's fascism, too, then. And what about Trump with the Federal Reserve pumping all the money in the repo market every week, right? Every week, billions of dollars. And then what about today? Where is it yesterday? 50 basis points drop? And wasn't it Trump that said that these four negative interest rates, which means if you keep money in a bank, you got to pay the bank to keep the money in there. So I'm sorry. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. It's different shades of gray. They all do this, okay? They all bail out the corporations.
Not that I'm defending Bush or Trump, but...
And Obama.
You know, and Obama. All of this is being forced by the fact that our economy is based on ink and paper that has no inherent worth. And the way that they get rid of this always accumulating debt, because the private central bank is allowed to create money out of thin air, then loan it at interest to the public... You know, it reaches a point where the debt is unsustainable, and everybody's trying to think, I need one trick to keep this going until the end of my term. Nobody wants to be the president when it all comes apart, so they keep kicking the can down the road any way they can. And some of the things they're doing are getting very, very extreme.
And you know what's weird, Mike? You know what, Boeing, they get all that money from military contracts. Do you think some of that is the same way because they have the problems with the 737X, right? Well... By giving them more money than they actually need, they can use that to take the losses up against their failed 737X. So they get bailed out too, but it's just a different way, I believe. They all do, you know.
Yeah, it is a form of bailout, and you're talking about the 737 MAX.
Yeah, and like I said, like that. Look at the F-35 the same way. They pump trillions of dollars in, knowing it's a loss. But do you think the government, doesn't matter if it's Trump, Bush, Obama, it would let Boeing fail? They won't. It would never let Boeing fail, just like Obama wouldn't let General Motors fail. And Bush won't let General Motors fail, Obama wouldn't, Clinton won't. You know, if they would never let, because that's unfortunately, you know, corporatism, you know. But Mike, have a good rest of the night.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. As you know, there is a huge mass of Syrian immigrants, refugees on the Greek border right now. The Greek authorities are trying to hold them back. The European Union doesn't want them. And apparently somebody spotted that the adults on the Greek border are literally holding their kid over smoke to get them to cry so that they show up, you know, in front of the Greek authorities and tears are streaming down their face and they're saying, oh, look, this person wants to come in so much. So it's getting a little pathetic over there. Apparently, Austrian Chancellor Sebastian Kurz is accusing Turkish President Erdogan of using migrants as a weapon against the European Union. And he's out there saying the EU must stand united behind Greece and protect the borders as well as provide humanitarian help. It really is a mess. And Erdogan has just, he's a loose cannon on deck, and he has been ever since that failed coup d'etat against him a few years ago. All righty. Apparently, Turkey is now actually busing migrants to the Greek border. Apparently, the EU made him an offer of 1 billion euros to go on holding the immigrants, and Erdogan turned it down. The United Nations has waded on in. Their refugee agency is saying Greece has no right to stop accepting asylum applications as Athens struggles with a sudden increase in arrivals of Middle East refugees and migrants from Turkey at its border. The Prime Minister, Kyriakos Mitsotakis, said on Sunday his country would not be accepting any new asylum requests for a month after 2 days of clashes between border police and the thousands of people seeking to enter Greece to get into Europe. So the EU chief is vowing, we will hold the line as the Greek police prevent 24,000 attempts to illegally enter the country following Turkey's decision to open the European borders. We need some of that here in this country. Ursula von der Leyen said the EU would provide all the support needed to defend the Greek external border, which is also the European border. Why can't we do that here? I mean, everyone's talking about the coronavirus, and they're talking about, you know, screening people on the plane flights coming into this country. But that southern border is wide open. What if people seeking asylum in this country with the coronavirus, they fly into Mexico? Mexico isn't screening anybody yet. And then they simply walk up to the border and they step over and they're inside the United States. Trump was right. You know, a secure border means health security. And if you don't have a secure border, you are not secure in terms of the public health here. Apparently, there's yet another illegal who was released by Chicago. He's a convicted felon. He's been arrested for allegedly abusing a 3-year-old child. That is really sick. There's been yet another hate crime hoax. There was a civil rights mural defaced in Philadelphia with racist language. The mural featured civil rights icon Cecil B. Moore, was defaced with racist. Let me try this one again. Featuring civil rights icon Cecil B. Moore, was defaced with racist graffiti. They found out who did it. It was a black man. So many hoaxes out there. Okay, transgender juggler Fia Menard and the performer's fans have expressed outrage over the last-minute cancellation of Menard's show at the Bouffes du Nord Theater in Paris, France, to make way for one of Kanye West's famous Sunday service religious-themed events. Over there. This one I kind of have to agree with, apparently. Over in Germany, there's a science fiction film out of Germany that sparked controversy and a backlash. It depicts a relationship between an adult man and a 10-year-old robot. That means a robot made to look like they're 10 years old and designed to resemble his daughter. And apparently there have been walkouts on several of the film's screenings. And in all my years in show business, I only ever walked out on one movie, and it was really bad. I'm not going to say what it is, because unfortunately I worked on it. Over in Los Angeles, the district attorney's husband pulled a gun on Black Lives Matter protesters who were knocking on his door. And he said, literally, get off my porch. The DA, Jackie Lacey, has now publicly apologized for that. Well, I think the gun was a little over the top, but certainly, you know, if that's his home, he has a right to say, stop pounding on my door and get off my porch. One of the things I don't like about Black Lives Matter is this in your face, we're going to scream at you no matter what, even if you're not sympathetic to our cause. Apparently, Candace Owens has taken former 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick and his fellow left-wing ideologues to school on the history of slavery, pointing out it did not originate in America. It originated in Africa, and it still exists in Africa to this very day. So go kneel when the African anthems are playing. All righty. What does the Church of Scientology and Airbnb have in common? If you answered secret risk assessments and personality tests, you get a gold star. If you've rented an Airbnb in the past 6 years, the odds are pretty high that you've been given a secret risk assessment and personality score, probably from your social media traffic. We've been talking before about how schools are now spying on students, and we're not talking about just in the classrooms themselves, even at their homes. There was a big stink some years ago about how a school provided laptops to their students, which is a good thing, except that the laptops had software on them that activated the cameras inside the laptop to spy on the students in the privacy of their own rooms. And the school administrators had the passwords to be able to go in and watch what these kids were doing in their own rooms at home. Now, kids need a certain amount of privacy. They're starting to form their own ideas about the world. They want to explore new things, and they want to be able to do it in private, so they're not feeling like they're constantly being watched. So the Electronic Frontier Foundation has launched a new surveillance self-defense guide for students and their parents so they can learn more about how schools are watching them and how they can fight back. Now, in the schools, it includes software to scan students' social media posts, cameras with facial recognition and other scanning capabilities, and microphones to, quote, detect aggression, end quote. Schools can even track you on devices they don't control. If you have to download a certain kind of security certificate to use the school internet, they may be monitoring your browser history and your social media traffic. Now, some administrators argue they need to use this technology to keep schools safe, yet there is little evidence that it actually works. Instead, surveillance can make people second-guess everything they do or say. When we are constantly spied on, we censor the way we express ourselves, right out of Orwell's 1984, the view screen that watches you. All righty, the new cars coming to the market this year, the 2021s. Are still vulnerable to keyless thefts. This is coming from the latest vehicle security tests find. Assessments of 13 new cars found that some models are still being launched with inherent security vulnerabilities. Poor ratings were awarded to the Mazda CX-30, the MGHS, Subaru Forester, and Vauxhall Corsa because engineers were able to access and start these vehicles using relay attack equipment. So, I mean, keyless is cool. Is it really necessary? I like an old-fashioned key, big, long key, you know, with like 30 different grooves and peaks in it. All right, we're going to take another phone call from Douglas in Tennessee. Aloha, Douglas. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to make a comment about the student loans and education and the work environment today. They say I'm a baby boomer, but actually we were never classified. We were kind of the in-between Gen X and baby boomers growing up. For the past couple years, I've taken classes at community college that are pretty affordable, studying engineering degrees. But more importantly, for the past 10, 12 years, I've worked in an industry, power, build-outs, design work, for telecoms, building out there. And in this area for 10 or 12 years, we haven't been able to attract any engineers into the field. There's a shortage of them, and we've got people with no degrees or two-year degrees like myself that are doing the engineering and design work because you can't attract people. I'm talking about I've worked for companies that have worked for years trying to recruit people to come and work in the field, and they just can't do it. As far as student loans go, I don't have any sympathy for people today, starting in about the 80s, who are going to such massive student loan debts. What they're doing, they're living on lifestyle. They're not spending the money on schooling. They're spending it on lifestyle also. They're taking sacrifices that they should be taking, and they're paying for them with their student loans. When I was in community college, I took out three student loans. And you get deferred 6 months after you graduate. You don't accrue any interest during that 6 months. And in that 6 months, I paid off my student loans. I only took three for a two-year degree. I paid for it out of my pocket, as I could afford it. Students can go to community college and sacrifice some of the nights out, some of the spring breaks. It's good to have a good time, but I watched my sister go into massive debt in computer science and engineering, and she got a great job at Hewlett-Packard when she graduated, but she had a ton of student loans, and I watched what she was spending it on. Her and her husband were spending it on lifestyle, New Orleans trips to watch football games, bowl games, things like that. You just got to sacrifice a little bit.
Yes, you do. You do. All right. Well, Douglas, thank you for the insights here. We're going to take a break for commercials. Back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, last segment of our program today. Do you want to be one of the earlier astronauts to return to the moon or explore Mars? Well, now's your chance. NASA has started accepting applications for astronauts for the first time in 4 years. And basically, you've got till the very end of the month, which is March 31st at 11:59 p.m. Eastern, to apply. although time isn't the main issue here, qualifying is. NASA says you'll need to be a U.S. citizen. Well, I've got that one. With either a master's degree in a STEM field or an equivalent, such as 2 years of work toward the doctorate in your field, a medical doctorate, or a combination of a completed test pilot school program finished by June 2021 with a STEM bachelor's degree. You'll also need real-world experience that includes either 2 years of progressively responsible work experience or 1,000 flight hours as a pilot in command. And did we mention you'll have to pass a long-duration spaceflight physical? Well, golly gee, Chuckies, I'm not going to make it. If I were younger, if only I were younger. Anyway, more news coming from space here. Scientists are claiming to have found an extraterrestrial protein inside a meteorite. Now, I caution you, this is not peer-reviewed yet. Team of physicists in the U.S. believe they've discovered the first extraterrestrial protein known to man within a meteor that fell to Earth some three decades ago. Apparently, they sliced it open under very sterile circumstances, and they discovered ribose, a type of sugar found in RNA. Now, probably a lot of people are going to get excited about that, except, of course, that back on Viking in 1976, we found indigenous life. He's going to convince me otherwise. Do you remember SETI at home? The search for extraterrestrial intelligence at home and the way this worked. They've been around for 21 years. And what it was is they were collecting all this data in radio telescopes, and then you would download a screensaver to your computer. And when your computer was not otherwise occupied, you would be chewing on this data looking for an intelligent signal or something that looked like an intelligent signal. And if you got a hit, you would get a little paper certificate that said, you know, SETI at home, and, you know, I identified a potential target. And they were basically crowdsourcing the data analysis. Well, SETI at home has announced they'll no longer be distributing new work to clients starting March 31st. They have enough data. They want to focus on completing their back-end analysis of the data. So SETI at home, I hope you come up with something. But I'm going to miss that little screensaver. It was kind of fun watching. Okay, now then. Baby monitors and smart cameras are being hacked by burglars and used to spy on victims' homes and families, according to cyber chiefs. And they fear weak passwords can allow online attackers to control wireless cameras, spy on families in their homes, peek at your kids, find out when you're not at home so that they can break in and steal your baby monitors and smart cameras and various things like that. And there's our music. So it's time for us to get out of here and get something useful done with the rest of the day. Please stay tuned for John Stedmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please spread the word of RBN. Spread the word of whatreallyhappened.com. Please donate. I cannot tell you how close to the edge we are right now. And we'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is RBN,
The Republic Broadcasting Network.